Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown, and I am super excited to be diving into this new sermon series that Pastor Zach started on Sunday on the Word of God. And joining me to do that is Pastor Mike O'Brien. Welcome.
Thank you, Luke. I'm glad to be here.
And you are fresh off of the roller coasters. Speaking of roller coasters.
Yes, fresh off the roller coasters, off the Six Flags food. but yeah, it was an awesome trip though.
That's awesome. So you're doing, for those of you who weren't aware, our middle school from Kings, they all went to Six Flags for middle school madness. They came back after a long day. They went to Crown. So it was a very, very wild and crazy filled day. But seeing all the photos, it was so cool to see the joy on the kids' faces.
Yes. And madness was the perfect description of what that trip was. But it was great. They had a lot of fun, a lot of bonding as well with the teachers and the chaperones. But it was awesome, Luke.
That's super cool. So now we're going to start in on this series on the Word of God. And to me, Sunday was very much an intro message. And I encourage everyone to go back and watch the whole service because it was cool when you think about it, how all the testimonies and the worship and even the baby dedication, It all plays into the fact that God speaks into the void. His voice creates, his voice declares purpose and promise. And even in those areas in our lives that seem like they're a mess, when we allow him to speak into those places, he brings order.
Yeah, that's so good. And I love what you said too, that it's so important to go back and watch everything because there's this seamless movement of God in all the elements from the worship and even the baby dedications, like getting to pray over these babies and speak God's word over them. Mm-hmm. You're speaking over a young life and believing that God is going to bring things in existence, like as they grow older and mature in the Lord. And so, yeah, I encourage everyone to go back and rewatch it and really get the fullness of what God was doing in this new series.
Amen. All right. So diving in, Pastor Zach made 3 points. So just to recap, the first point is that he speaks. Two, he has authority, he being God. And three, his word is a product of his creativity. And Pastor Zach started from Genesis 1. And he made this point, which I thought was really interesting. And I think it's important as we approach this discussion of God's word, because our experience of God's word is we have this written word. But Pastor Zach says, before God's word was written, it was spoken. And I was wondering if you had anything that you'd want to shed on that.
Yeah, I think something that he had said that really, it really touched me and made me process a lot more was when he says, when the Father speaks, it doesn't come from a contract, it comes from his heart. And so there was nothing written, there was no Bible before. Mm-hmm. It was whatever he spoke into existence came from his heart. And I think that's so important. I think for us, the scriptures tell us that the heart is desperately wicked. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like that we have to allow God to transform us.
Yes.
But for him, that transformation doesn't need to take place. And so what he was speaking out, and as he said, when you read through the creation account, is he said it was good. And I think that was something that stuck out to me that was important. So what was coming out of his heart was good. There was nothing that was wicked. There was nothing that was tainted. It was out of his heart. So that really jumped out to me.
Amen. And Pastor Zach said that we do believe that God's word is infallible. It's inerrant. There's no error in it. And it is the true word of God. And we need to approach that as we talk about, the fact that God does still speak to us. And I think that I liked how he gave some room at the beginning of the message to address that, because some people do have a discomfort with the idea of, oh, God speaks. Mm. I've even had I've encountered some people that, like, I've had friends that say, oh, God told me this. Mm. And then other friends in the same conversation that are uncomfortable that person used the phrase, God told me.
Yeah.
So how can we approach that idea in a healthy way?
I think it's important to that God is still speaking. But even for myself, like if I hear the voice of the Lord, I sense that he's saying something, I still want to make sure that I'm putting that through the right filters. I have to align it with his mm-hmm. word, which Amen. You just said, Luke, is infallible. It's perfect. There's no error in it. And so if there's something that he is speaking that has any traces that that doesn't sound right or doesn't align mm-hmm. with his word, then that's one of the first filters. The other thing too is bringing it to people who are more experienced as well, and kind of saying, okay, this is what I'm sensing, and seeing if they can confirm it as well. And so I think it's important that we take it to the word, but we also take it to other people. We bring it through all those filters.
Yep.
So then we can say, okay, this is what God is saying.
That's good.
Because even in my past, I've said to people, I feel like this is what God is saying. And it wasn't that it was, it's not more about that it was wrong, mm-hmm. but there was some things inside me that could have been steering that, things in my own flesh. And so I've gotten to a place now where it really comes back to his word. It has to align with it.
Amen.
And then and allowing other people to say, okay, well, I'm sensing the same thing, like that the Lord has, you know, I'm sensing he's spoken that, or to give room for, okay, well, this is what I'm sensing as well, and allowing that correction or that other voice to come into alignment as well.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And, you know, and I think back to when Jesus was telling his disciples, I've been talking about this a lot lately, it seems, in lots of different conversations, but before Jesus went to the cross, like he was promising his disciples that he was going away, but he was promising them the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that it's good that he was going away,
because
then the Comforter would be with us.
Yeah.
And he would be inside of us.
Yeah.
And his purpose is to guide us into all truth.
Yes.
And I think what can be tough for some people is when you hear God told me, we sometimes think it's like an audible voice.
Mm-hmm.
But often it's at least in my experience, for me, thoughts come into my head, right?
Yeah.
But it's like a knowing,
yeah.
and then but it's in collaboration with God's written word.
That's
it's
good.
It's all those things in tension.
Yeah.
And then as you dwell in that, and I find that as I engage and go into that intimate dialogue with the Lord, then you start to pick up on, like, he highlights certain things when people pray.
Yeah.
Or when people preach certain things, it's like, okay, yeah, see, this is what I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
And so it's this ongoing dialogue with him.
That's good.
But it takes there's a step of faith that that is required in order to step into that.
That's so good, Luke. And I think it's the importance of constant and consistent time with him. You know, the two people I think of, well, one, Jesus constantly went away to be with his father. He took that time away from the crowds to be with him. It says he went often to desolate places.
Mm.
And so there was no hesitation when it came to, this is what the Lord wanted. And he said, I only do what my father.
Yeah.
I only do his will. And the other person is Moses. You know, it said that he would often sit in the tent of meetings, and the Lord would speak to him face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. So it wasn't God to a leader. Okay, now go tell the people to do this. It was so much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
So Moses had that connection. And so I think that's important too. It's our time in the presence with the Lord. So we can really differentiate between the different voices. And I think there's a lot of them. We live in a world with a lot of different voices. And so honing in. And I think another thing is, he gives us tools to help. So when we say God is speaking to me, fasting, for example, like,
right. Amen.
My wife and I, before we came to his providence, like we were sensing, we were unsettled. And there were a lot of voices speaking into that season when we were unsettled. And there were times where we wanted to move forward, but we had to wait. But what I did is I took some time to fast. I let other people know this is what I'm praying into.
Mm.
So it set up the boundaries. And then when God spoke, he put something on my heart and thoughts, it aligned, and I shared it with a few other people and walked in it, and God led us here in an amazing way. So I think it's important to add those different elements too.
Mm. Mm. No, that's super important. And, you know, like, Jesus talked about, you know, there was a demon that couldn't be cast out. Right. And he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
And I've brought this up in a class that I taught, and I said, like, what do we gain by prayer and fasting?
Mm.
And what we gain is intimacy with the Lord.
Yeah.
And that builds your faith.
Yes.
Which then it makes it easier, or you're stronger now to engage with the enemy in your life.
Yes.
I had also heard, just on fasting, I had heard a sermon, and the pastor was preaching through the book of Esther.
Mm.
And he highlighted how Esther asked Mordecai to have the people fast and pray for her.
Yeah.
And he challenged us who were listening to the sermon to have you ever asked someone to fast for you?
Mm.
And how humbling that is.
Wow.
But how powerful that is to give you confirmation of what the Lord is calling you to do.
Wow. That's really good. I think that's so crucial. And I think what the fasting does is it almost starves the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that. I know
yes.
for me, it's like,
yes.
I can go almost a whole day without eating. But when you add fasting in, it's like breakfast, you feel like you're already clawing at the floor, mm-hmm. ready to get
and
into
food
cereal.
Just smells everything. So much better.
Commercials, ads, everything looks, you drive by restaurants that you normally would never even want to go into.
Yeah.
So I think that shows us that there's a flesh that has to kind of be pushed to the side. And when we fast, it pushes that flesh to the side and allows God's voice to come in. And I will say this, I think even after the fast, it's still just as important
to
make sure you have other people that are, like you said, I love that, like other people fasting for you, because they're going to hear from the Lord too. And you want it to align.
Mm.
So.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I know for me, like that takes another step of faith.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing for you to walk out your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
But then it's like, there's at least for me, again, for me personally, to have that faith of, are they going to hear the same thing?
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
It's like, but of course, like that's how God works.
Yeah.
But there is that step of faith. Like, are you willing to trust him in
yeah.
that way?
Yeah.
And just a verse I wanted to share as before we move on. Everyone's probably heard this, but it's from Hebrews 4, chapter 12. And the writer says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And that to me puts the word of God in its proper place.
Mm.
Especially for those of us who enjoy studying. Like I enjoy studying, I enjoy reading, and,
yeah.
and I can learn well that way. I think the temptation is to then fall into treating the Bible as just another textbook, or what am I gonna remember
yeah.
from what I read today?
Yeah.
Instead of understanding that, oh no, this is a spiritual and physical activity.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
And the writer there is saying, like, you're reading, but and it's the spiritual activity, but it's having these physical effects, like in your body.
Yeah. That's good. And I love that. And even going back and touching on what you said earlier with like the Holy Spirit, God gives us the Holy Spirit for that purpose of, he says he's going to be a helper. You know, and I think of, like I coached, we had the girls varsity basketball, which started for the first time at Kings this year. And I know that when you're in practice, the environment is not as intense.
Mm-hmm.
So you go over a play, but I understand in the game situations, they might forget it.
Right.
And so that's why you have timeouts and you can call and remind them. And I feel like that happens in life too. We know God's word, we'll read it, but sometimes in certain situations something in your life can change and things can become intense. The Holy Spirit is that helper. It's almost like he calls a timeout and he reminds you of God's word.
Right.
And your life could be going great, but then you might have an attack on your mind on just your identity. And it's the Holy Spirit that reminds you of what God has spoken over you. And that gives the peace. So it's so important. God is still speaking today.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And I know people who've said, kind of looked at me like puzzled, like, I don't think He is speaking, because he's given us his spirit,
right.
and his spirit is going to give us his word and
Amen.
Help us.
Amen.
In those times.
Amen. And that's actually an example that I've used to help people who,
wow.
who struggle with that.
Yeah.
Is, well, have you ever been in a situation and a Bible verse came to your mind?
Yep.
And it's like, okay, where do you think that came from?
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
And God will use his word most often, because
yeah.
that's the highest authority.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So get his word into your heart.
Yeah.
And then he can use it to
yes.
call to help you in the time of need.
Yes. That's
you know?
Good.
All right. So moving on to the second point. The second point was that he has authority. And Pastor Zach said his authority is not just over everything, but over the nothing places.
Yeah, that I really like. That was a pause during the message where it was like I was taking notes and I wrote it down, but I had to sit back in my seat. And I remember physically sitting back and really like processing what that means. And, you know, he had used one example of the feeding of the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using almost nothing to feed thousands of people.
Yeah.
But then I was even reminded of the story in First Kings of the widow and her two sons, where the creditors were coming to take them away, and God provided something out of almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking of even my life now, and what does that look like? He has authority over everything, but also nothing. He's the God who it's such a simple thing. And when Zach started the message out, he said he spoke into the void and into nothing and created all that we have. And it's such a simple principle, but it's a good reminder that when you feel like you're going through a season of lack, he's the God over the lack as well.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, he talked about physics and how, you know, the law of physics, like matter cannot be created or destroyed. So it's, we just see things being transformed. Mm. But, and while that is true in a physical sense, when we go back to the beginning, we have to understand, like, what is a void? A void was nothing. Yeah. There was no particle of anything.
Yeah.
And God spoke and things came into being.
Yeah.
And that is, I think that's the story of a Christian all the time.
Yeah.
And you see that with, I always go back to Mary, when the angel comes to Mary and tells her, like, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And then, you know, the Messiah is going to be born in you.
Yeah.
And she says, how will this be?
Mm.
And I think we have those moments all the time as believers. And it's not that, I don't think we should be shamed by that.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, dialogue that with the Lord.
Yeah.
But that's our humanity coming up against his divinity and his limitlessness.
You know, and it's funny, as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to art class in middle school. And I remember our teacher, she wanted us to draw a fire truck. And I was never good at, like, drawing a bowl of fruit. They'd put a bowl, and I couldn't do that. But design, like, if I could, my greatest thing was I took a class in college where she put a blank page in front of us and said, I want you to draw, fill up the page and draw only straight lines. And to me, like, I love that because I could just start drawing. And then the assignment after that was, she gave another blank page. I want you to fill up the page with all curved lines. And so going back to middle school with the fire truck, I remember my friend Andrew was sitting next to me and he was drawing a fire truck. And so I started mimicking every line that he drew. And so by the end of it, my fire truck looked exactly like his. And for years after that, every time I drew a fire truck, it looked like Andrew's fire truck. So I needed something to kind of as a guide to make something for myself. But as you were saying, when he spoke into nothing, there was no template.
Nothing.
Like there wasn't a world before. Okay, let me just cookie cut. It was out of his own heart, out of his own creativity, which is, it's just mind blowing to me.
And I think that should fuel our faith in bringing him, you know, those nothing places.
Yeah.
And those hopeless places.
Yeah.
And the thing is, even when we do that, we're not really even bringing nothing to him. We're bringing him something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And just like, you know, I'm seeing that illustration that Zach did with the salt. Mm. And it's like, you're bringing him salt or something that looks like a mess to you.
Yeah.
But when he speaks, there is an order that comes into being.
Yeah. And, you know, I think of a memory when I was younger and I had shared a little bit of my testimony on Belong Sunday. And there was a moment where I was in a really messy situation where I was going back and forth between my biological mom and my adoptive mom. And there was a time where I ran upstairs and hid under the bed because I didn't want to go back into the mess. Right. And legally, I had to go back. And my mom at that time knew I had to, but she knew that there was a plan. And I remember her coming upstairs and getting on her stomach and coming halfway under the bed and just saying, like, this looks really messy right now, but God is going to bring deliverance. Things will change. It's almost like she was speaking into the messy situation, God's word, when she felt that God was going to do, even though it wasn't changing. Amen. And she still had to watch me get in the car and go back to a messy situation. And God, I mean, I'm sitting here in front of you, like, to say God's word is powerful and he gives us the ability to speak into situations that are really messy. Mm. But when it's his word, it comes back into alignment and he can restore things. And so to me, it was just really powerful.
So if you don't mind going back to that scenario, that scene in your life.
Yeah.
What did it, what thought, do you remember any thoughts that were going through your head when your mother was telling you that?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was fear. I remember running up the stairs and going under the bed. And so in my mind, it was just fear. But when she came down and got on my level, it didn't change. Like in the moment, I think I wanted it to change. Okay. Does this mean I can stay? Mm-hmm. But I didn't. It's like, I had to come out from under the bed. I had to go back down the stairs. Mm-hmm. So I think it was her reassurance and it was her faith that was like, okay, I trust you.
Right.
Even though this, and it was a teaching moment, even though I don't remember exactly how I reacted, if I like fussed or grabbed the door or tried to, I don't remember those things, but I remember like the Lord brings me back to that memory to know, okay, I did get out from under the bed. I did go back down the stairs and I got in the car. And so it taught me faith. It taught me that I could trust what she was saying. And honestly, I'm wondering how much she was processing too,
right,
if this was going to change. Maybe there was some doubts, but I couldn't see that in her. It was faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a story I'll never forget. And God brings me back to that often.
And it was still a process.
Yes.
and years go by.
Yep.
And you know, sometimes we see God move in someone's life.
Yeah.
And it's just like that illustration that Zach and Dave did on the stage. It's like we see that miracle where the salt comes into alignment.
Yes.
But what we often don't see, I believe, is there were years before that moment happened.
Yes.
So don't lose faith
as
you are persevering in the promise of God.
Yeah. And look, you think of all the characters, think of Noah, knowing that there's going to be a flood, but the ark didn't get built overnight. It was years. You think of Joseph having the dreams and having that excitement and then being put into the pit and then into the prison before he reached the palace. You think of Jacob, you know, wanting to marry who he loved, Rachel, and having to work for it. There's a process. God can do things instantly, but like you said, there's a process when God speaks his word. Abraham, you know, spoken, you're going to be a father of many nations at a time he didn't have children. And so God can speak something, but there's a process that begins to take effect and our faith is called to the table.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I think, at least for me personally, it's always been, God moves in my life in a way that always pulls me in a deeper intimacy with him.
Yeah.
And then the thing that I was praying for or the thing that I wanted to see happen, it's almost like that's not the main thing anymore.
Yeah.
And so as he brings the healing and as he brings the restoration and brings those things into alignment, it's done in a way and in a timing that I don't idolize that or I don't then take that and run with it for myself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, I'm so grateful for you. I love you.
Yeah.
And all I ever really needed was you, even though I thought this was my problem.
Yeah, that's so good. And like you said, going back to the salt illustration, when he speaks, like the salt, it was so, wasn't that visual amazing?
Super cool.
Just with even the technology we have to be able to see it up close, you see all the salt beads jumping up and down. It didn't instantly go, but you saw them kind of jumping, banging into each other and then falling into alignment. And so God will speak. And then it comes into alignment. It reminds me of when the after the transfiguration and he was up with a few of the disciples and they came down and it was like madness. There was a father who had a boy who had a demon and they couldn't cast him out.
Yeah.
It's like they came from this high to now to this low and they're praying and doing all these things. And you had referenced before, this can only be done in prayer and fasting. That was the context.
Yeah.
And so Jesus spoke to the boy. And you'll see in the scripture, it says that it threw him on the ground. It like tried to do this last thing before it came out. So it wasn't instant deliverance, but it was almost like it seemed like it was worse for a second before. And then they thought he was dead. It said he was laying down and they thought he was dead. But really what it was, his physical body, his mental state coming back into alignment, coming back into form. And that's what the voice of God does. It speaks over things that can torment us. And there's that moment of like one last, and then it's over. It's back into alignment.
Mm. Mm. Amen. And as you're talking, I'm reminded of the beginning of John, where you know John starts out by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh."
Mm-hmm.
And we know Jesus is the embodied Word of God.
Yeah.
He is the Word made flesh. And so it is so important that we understand that God's word and his spoken word in our life is so that we can then receive a greater revelation of Jesus as the written word.
That's good.
And as the embodied word of God.
That's awesome.
Okay, so moving on to the final point. His word is a product of his creativity. Mm. And we've kind of touched on this already, but I think it's important that we also understand our role now as his mouthpiece. Mm. It's, you know, we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. And, you know, Jesus said before he ascended, you know, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Mm. And so Jesus gave us the most important thing that we could speak.
Mm.
And so as we go out and speak, like I'm just getting this picture of as you pursue your mission for the Lord and you speak and you follow his leading and his unction and you obey him with your life and you see him move, it's you are then partnering with the Lord to create his kingdom here on earth.
That's so good. And like we serve a creative God and that is so exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, and he gives us creativity. And so one of the things even at Kings that we do is we pray for creative ideas. And that's something in the last maybe couple of years, I've been really like pressing in like, God, give me creative ideas. And I'll give you one quick example. At the beginning of the school year, we had a young girl who was having a tough time with transition coming from the car into the school. And in the first part of the year was doing fine, but was going through a lot of transitions, really young girl, and was struggling to leave mom. And so we, as a round table, we prayed and I said, Lord, give us a creative idea to help with this. And a thought came in of going and getting a plant and having this little girl water it in the morning and making that part of a routine. So it came to me and I kind of, it wasn't that it was weird, but it was like, okay, like, I didn't think that was going to work in my own. But so it got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go over to Walmart and I'm going to look for a plant.
So try this.
I go over and I go into the garden section outside. There's no plants. And I'm thinking, oh, it's not even the season, but they didn't have anything. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I go back in and I see a cactus, which says you don't have to water that. Like it's like once every, you know, few weeks. So I'm like, well, that's not going to work. And I'm like frustrated. And I go out into the aisle and there is a display table of outside furniture. And there's this beautiful plant on it. And I thought it was fake, but I went over and it was real. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, there's a price tag on this. So I'm like, I'm going to get it. So I get it. I bring it back. I even found this little watering can with flowers on it. She likes flowers. And I said, okay, we're going to do this. So I set it up. I emailed the mom and said, this is just an idea that the Lord gave me. I don't know if this is like a miss or if this is, and her response is what prove that God speaks and gives creative ideas. Wow. She said their house is full of plants. And that was this little girl's job is she would water the plants in the house.
Wow.
And so the next day we showed her the watering can, we showed her the plant in our office. And every morning she comes in, it was like night and day.
That's awesome.
And it's been about a couple months and that plant is thriving. She brings in friends and shows them the plant. She named the plant.
Wow.
And there's like, it's now a part of her routine and it helped. I actually just got a thank you note today from the mom. Just saying that she's like flourishing over one creative idea.
That's so cool.
And that was the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit.
Cool. So cool. And you know, that's so powerful. And you know, that little girl's life is completely transformed.
Yeah.
No longer is school a scary place, but it's a place that she wants to go. And now she has an ownership. And I feel like that is it's like an illustration for what we're called to do with the people in our life.
Yep.
It's, Lord, give me creative ideas to reach these people, to reach this scenario, because I know that you have a creative mind.
Yeah.
I know that you know what needs to happen.
Yeah.
So show me how to partner. And when we do that, it's like it frees us from, because we can't be God, right?
Yeah.
It's allowing God to be God,
yes.
But we are his partners and his vessels.
Yeah. And have you ever watched those like life DVDs, those shows, like BBC, where it shows nature. And
yes,
all those things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I actually, as you were saying that, I looked up the word creativity, and the definition is the use of the imagination or original ideas, especially in the production of an artistic work.
Wow.
And when you watch those like DVDs and you see just things that we walk by, certain bugs, animals, and the detail and just like what's built into their DNA. Like that is not something, going back to what we said earlier, mm-hmm. there's no template. God right. spoke into the void and thought of those things.
Right.
And that same God can give us ideas over our own families, over our own situations. And I don't know, it just makes God, this makes you love him more.
Right. Right. And now, you know, the study of, like, we hear about scientific discoveries, or like, oh, this artist of music, like they play in this way, or, yep. or like this mathematical theory. None of that comes from us.
Yeah.
Really, all of that is we are discovering the patterns and the fingerprint of God in creation.
Good, yeah.
In math, in music, in yeah. those sound waves.
That's so good. And, you know, even at the time at the altar where people were really coming down and like using even the sound waves and the salt illustration to, I had prayed over this young man whose life was like really messy, and that just didn't seem in his mind that there was any order, and using what was spoken from Zach's yeah. message and God's word, that God is speaking. And there was this receptivity because the Spirit was using God's word that Zach had just spoken. And now we take that same word and we get to lay hands yes. and pray on other people.
Amen.
And there was a peace, there was a settling. And I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes and I sensed it. When you speak God's word over situations that are messy, there's an order and there's a peace that comes into mm. that. Mm.
Amen. Okay. So now, as a point of application, before we close, Pastor Zach did impress upon us and challenge us to adopt a proper attitude and I think a resolute faith mm-hmm. as we go forward in this realization of this reality that we're in. And he talked about, you know, being at the front of a roller coaster
yeah.
and how everyone at the back reacts to the people in the front.
Yeah. And it's just so funny because we talked about the middle school madness and being at Six Flags. Now, Six Flags in Agawam, I grew up right outside of Springfield, so it was 10 minutes from my house. So for years, I had ridden the Superman ride, which is the biggest, tallest coaster in the park. And I'd always ridden in the back. I'd always went in the mm-hmm. back. Part of it was security for me. I didn't like knowing what was coming. And so he was talking about that whole analogy of when you're in the front car, you see it first. And he said, sometimes the screams of the people behind you aren't because they see the drop, it's because they're hearing the screams of the people
yes,
in front of them.
Yeah.
And so I'm with Pastor John Gagne's group. Him and I, we joined our groups together. So he convinced me to go in the front car. And he said, it's going to be a different experience. And so I said, okay. I said, but you're coming with me. And so he was in line with me, but someone had backed out. So Pastor John had to sit with another girl. So I'm in the front car by myself, no one next to me. He's behind me just enough where I can turn around and say, are you kidding me? You're supposed to be next to me. And I'll tell you, it was a whole different experience.
Wow.
I'm a bigger guy too. So even the restraints, usually when you're in the back, you're being whipped around
right.
and the G-force is different. And so I never really enjoyed that ride because it would dig into my legs. Mm-hmm. But because I was in the front, it was different. There wasn't as much digging. And although it was horrifying to go over that
right,
first hill,
you're seeing it. Yeah.
You know, once you're over it, there was like, it was so different. And now I said to him, I can't go back. Whenever I go back there, I have to be in that front car because it changed. And so Pastor Zach's illustration, like hit home to me in such a real way because mm-hmm. I was like, just the day before, I'm in that front car. And it was such a different experience.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. And, you know, as believers, we understand, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Mm. We understand God's written word.
Yeah.
And we have his living and fresh daily bread, his fresh word for us every day.
Yeah.
And I know that for me, like I'm getting convicted of, you know, sometimes like how I speak at work or like maybe speaking in a more negative way and adopting more of the consensus of the people that I'm around.
Yeah.
And that's me reacting to other people and not being at the front of the roller coaster.
Wow.
Whereas I have the truth of the Lord.
Yeah.
So I should be allowing the Lord and his word to set the tone. And then the tone and I can influence the world where I find myself.
That's so good. And Luke, like most of my ministry life has been bivocational, which means, you know, I've worked full-time in churches, but most of the time it's been, I had to have a second job. Mm-hmm. And I remember before I went into ministry, I was working at this restaurant and, you know, I was going to church and I was, and my language, I'd never really struggled, but I remember one time I had like, I cursed and mm-hmm. I remember everyone in the restaurant, like it was back there, like turned, they're like, was that Whoa. Mike? And you know, they laughed it off, but I remember I was so yeah. convicted and yeah. I remember I went into the bathroom and I just was like, you were saying, I realized that I was allowing my surrounding to right. change who I was.
Right.
And then fast forward years later, I had a job at another company. And in that company, I felt like I wasn't being an impact, but I wasn't like cursing. I was talking healthy about my marriage and all. And those were things that the other men that I worked with were saying was a difference. Mm-hmm. They even said to me, they said, you don't speak negative about your marriage. You don't. So when we are living with the Spirit, we may not feel like we're parting seas or we're, but there's a difference when you're in a place of darkness. You're mm-hmm. in a place where people are looking for light.
Yeah.
When you just live according to your word, people recognize that in yeah. your language and your tone and everything that you do and how I talk about my wife. And I remember a year after being there, it wasn't until a year after I was there where I felt like I wasn't making an impact. When I left, that's when it came out. And I'll never forget right. that. And so even for people who are listening to this, who have jobs and they feel like there's just this mundane, as the Spirit fills you, as God is building you up, like where you are, God is using you and people recognize God in you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, but it says we wrestle not with flesh and blood.
Yeah.
You know, and but with like powers and principalities. And so as we engage with people, as yeah. we share the truth and the impact that the Lord is having in our life,
yeah.
you are dismantling strongholds. You're yeah. coming against the strongholds of philosophies
yeah.
that people either knowingly or unknowingly have picked up in the world.
That's so good.
Well, I'm excited to see where Pastor Zach takes us on Sunday.
Me too.
So as we go off into this week, would you bless us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father, we are so thankful that you spoke before it was written, that something came out of your heart and your mind, and you created the world that we live in, and it was good. We do see a lot of bad, yes, but Lord, Jesus. What you created was good, and we see those good things in creation, and there is this wrestling that's taken place before you come back, and you make a new heaven and a new earth, but there's still good. And so we just pray your word over those who are listening, Lord, yes, those Jesus. Who received on Sunday and those who are going to come and receive this coming Sunday. Mm. We thank you that there is authority, that you carry authority over everything and over nothing.
Mm.
And so we pray that if there's anyone listening and they're in a season of lack, Father, we pray your authority and speak your word into that lack, into that what seems like a void in their life. And we pray that you bring out things that would multiply and increase. Father, we pray, whether it's finances, whether it's their identity is under attack, whatever it may be, Lord, we speak your authority over that. And Lord, lastly, we just thank you that you are a God who is creative. Lord, even in that definition, your imagination is incredible. All we have to do is look at nature. God, I think of Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest preachers in the Great Awakening, used to study for hours just creation and ants and all those different things, and he would feel your presence even in that. Father, I pray that we would look around us and see the creative works that you have done that we get to live in. And Father, I just pray your word over every family situation and dynamic. And we pray for the testimonies that were shared on Sunday, the testimonies yes, that Jesus. Will continue to come from the message on Sunday and from the messages that will come from this series. We just pray that the testimonies would encourage us and lift our faith to a new level. We're so thankful that you are creative. We're so thankful that you love us. We're so thankful for your grace. Mm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us, Mike.
Great to be here.
All right, guys, so go out in the power of our creative God, and we will see you on Sunday.